1, 2, 3.
Sugar Bum Fairy.
Welcome to the Beatles, Song by Song, where we tell the stories behind the songs and recordings of the incomparable Fab Four.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It was John Lennon's plaintive and haunting voice that would intone the gentle opening stanzas of what would become the epic, climactic masterpiece of the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band LP. On January 19, 1967, the first take of John's new song titled In the Life Of was attempted. The title was later changed to A Day in the Life. In the beginning, it was a simple recording of a simple song, the verses of which came from John's voracious appetite for reading the newspaper. As Paul recalls,
it was mainly a John song, and he had the I read the news today, oh boy. And he'd taken a lot of it from a newspaper.
The lyrics tell of a man who had died in a car accident.
He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed.
The man was Tara Brown, a 21-year-old friend of the Beatles and socialite, who was the great-grandson of Irish brewer Edward Cecil Guinness and the son of Lord Ornimore Brown. The details of the crash as described in the lyric are fictional. He, in fact, lost control of his car while trying to avoid a Volkswagen which had suddenly appeared from a side street. He struck a parked van and was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. In the next verse, John refers to a film about the English Army. That film was How I Won the War, which he himself had acted in. But the song did not have a middle section. John asked Paul if he had something they could insert.
And then I had another bit. Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. That was a little bit I had. And so we thought, well, that'd be good. We could put that in the middle. And we got the concept of sort of building it a little bit like a sort of mini operetta.
It was something Paul had been working on, describing his boyhood life, when he would wake up, get ready for school, take the bus, and daydream when the teacher would begin speaking.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head.
It was a perfect match, because Paul's song did not have a beginning or end, and John's had no middle. The marriage of the two worked to appear as a complete song, but the two sections needed to be connected by something. They did not yet know what. So 24 empty measures were inserted in between. Assistant Mal Evans counted out the measures, along with the piano keeping the beat. Producer George Martin recalls,
and see if we can't connect them up in some way. We connected them with a series of empty bars, and we knew we had to fill those bars with something sensational, and we didn't know what it was going to be yet. And in order to keep the 24 bars so that everybody knew when to come back in again, dear old Mal Evans stood by the piano counting the bars.
An alarm clock was added to signal the end of the section.
And just to add further weight to it, he set off an alarm clock at the end of it to trigger everybody back into it again.
But what would fill these 24 measures? We will explore the wild scene that ensued in Cavernous Studio One at Abbey Road as the epic recording continued toward its momentous conclusion. Please join us next week at the same time for part two of A Day in the Life. This is Susan Kreutzer for The Beatles, Song by Song.